Hello. So, 2001 and 2002, a lot of live shows in USA, in Europe, promoting a new release after 4 years. How was the response of the fans?
It's been good, I think, and it was a long break between the last album and this album, and so it's been really nice to be touring again and writing songs again, and I think we felt very welcome wherever we've played this year and last year. People have made us feel very welcome. So
any differences in the fans after these 4 years?
It's a mixture between people that knew us from previous albums and people that have only just heard this latest album, and so it makes it quite interesting for us to play in places we haven't played before and have some, you know, people that we haven't met before and people that we already know supporting us too.
Okay, future songs. Listening to the album and reading the reviews, three words come to our mind: serenity, faith, and melancholy. What words come to your mind?
I think that's quite a good description that you just said. Serenity is nice, because I think we were trying to reach a state of a kind of trying to find a sort of a peace in our heads when we were writing, and some of the images are taken from nature, like sometimes just take images from the sky or the sea or the sun or dawn or midnight, and it's hard to really say one thing, but I think overall the songs sort of collectively have a kind of a vibe all the way through the album, and it's kind of better if you listen to the whole album rather than just one or two songs, because you get more of the idea of the album if you hear the whole thing.
Okay, along with personality and originality, the Cranes link together two musical generations that have the use of electronics in common. The first one represented by The Cure, and the... I can't pronounce that. In the 80s. And in the 90s, Boards of Canada and Portishead. Would you agree with this? And if so, could you tell me something about this particular link?
Well, when we first started, we were listening to kind of industrial music like Einstürzende Neubauten, and I think some of the rhythm, I think what they were doing was very experimental, especially in the middle and late 80s, and we've always been interested in experimenting in music, and I think Einstürzende Neubauten rhythmically, they were using physical instruments like physical drums, they're very percussive, and if you compare that to some modern electronic music, some of the rhythms are almost similar, except that modern music uses drum machines and computerized drums. So I think there is a link between industrial music and modern, say, drum and bass music, or some kinds of techno. But personally, that's, you know, we did start out listening to some industrial music, and then we toured with The Cure in the early 90s, and I think everything you do indirectly has an effect on you, and we hadn't planned to tour with The Cure. It just came out of the sky, really. It was just unexpected, but because it was such a long tour for like 9 months or to 7 months, 8 or 9 months, I can't remember, it definitely had an effect on our lives, and sort of we maybe would have gone in down this road, but we ended up taking a slightly different path because of that experience. And more recently, I do listen to things like Boards of Canada and Sigur Rós, and so that just kind of, that's just a path through of different things we've been listening to, I guess.
You're perfect, really. So you founded a record label that's called the Dadaphonic. What is the significance of the name, and what kind of characteristics should a band have to raise interest to your label?
Well, the name comes from a song that we had, one of the first songs that we wrote, which was called Dada 331. So we just took Dada and added phonic, which is to orals listen. And we would like to expand the label so that we can work with other groups. And I think the thing that a group would have to have for us would be to just have originality, to have just an aspect of the music or the personalities in the group that was just original, just that somebody was being themselves and doing, like, I always think that you can, like, if you gave 10 people the same 3 notes to play, everyone would play it differently. So I think you can always be original even if you've got the same instrument to play with, but you just should play it in your own way and not copy the way somebody else plays it, and then you can express something of your own self. So that's what we'd look for.
Now, your relationship with Sartre, mm-hmm. and the one by The Cure with Camus, mm-hmm. The lyrics of the groups like Joy Division or Nick Cave and The Bad Seeds, what can you tell us about the relationship between dark wave and existentialism? Mm.
Yeah, it's a good question, because there is a connection, isn't there? I don't know. It might just come from learning French. For myself, it was just because you have to learn French and you read those kind of books, and so. But yeah, I think there's a. There must be some kind of empathetic middle ground between what we try and write as musicians and what people in a different generation were trying to say through literature, I suppose. And I mean, for the project that we did, the Sartre project, was. We didn't really plan it. We just Jim had written some music, which just had a particularly strange sound, and as you probably know, we read some extracts from the play over the music, and we got kind of really involved in it for about a couple of months. We didn't want to do anything else. We just kind of got caught up in this whole world of the play and started to really visualize it. And I think that did kind of lead to an interest in drama for myself as well. And in the last, in 2000 and 2001, I did a drama course in London, and I really enjoyed reading a lot of plays and working on some scenes and performing in some plays, and so it was just something I hadn't done before, so it made a change for me. I did something different from music for a while.
Okay, now let's go back to future songs. At the end of Fragile, there is the sound of a car engine. Immediately, this reminded me of the image that you have used for the cover of your album. Is there any relationship between the two things, or is it just a case? If so, what does the image symbolize?
The image on the sleeve was quite a random image, which Toker, the guy that designed the album sleeve, he took that picture from a hotel window in New York. He was just took a picture looking downwards onto the street, and he gave us several photographs to look at, and that was the one that we weren't sure why, but we just, me and Jim both instantly said, yeah, that one, we like that one. And I think there's something about the idea of a car or an object or a person travelling through the night that seemed to link up with the mood of the album. And when we put the car at the end of Fragile was we just put a mic when we were recording at home in my brother's house. We were recording at home, and we just put a microphone outside and just left it there during the night, and the car going past was just one of the sounds that recorded. And there were just a few sounds from the street, and we just wanted to just have a few sounds that actually existed, but as well as the songs that we were making with musical instruments for the songs, we just wanted to have something that was actually in the environment at the time, just a tiny, you know, a few seconds of it. I don't know why.
Okay, now in general, how important is artwork and image, I mean the public image, the look and the aesthetics in general for you?
Well, the album artwork this time was really important to us, because I think we really wanted to, especially because we started our own label, we really wanted to have a certain design aesthetic, and so we were really pleased to work with Token and Michael, who are these two Danish designers that we met through. They've got a website, a really cool website called k10k.net, and we were really pleased with the work they did for us. They designed our website as well for the dadaphonic.com, and as far as the way we look on stage, we're not particularly presenting any image physically. It's more about what's in our heads, I think, and what we're actually playing, rather than we're not presenting any theatrical image from ourselves on stage. It's I think it's more of a just the people we are and the songs that we play.
Okay, now concerning the lyrics. In Fragile you say, fragile but not fear at all. Mm-hmm. On the other hand side, in The Maker of Heavenly Trousers, you add, I just made up my mind. Can we consider this a statement of maturity or just a simple interior balance?
The two songs were written at different times, and Fragile, I think we were trying to say that everybody has a fragility about them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you fall apart. You know, you can sort of even when things are about to fall apart, you can still have the strength to keep things together, and you just go ahead and do whatever it is you do in your life without being afraid that it might not work or that it might all fall apart. So it's just talking to ourselves, really, trying to just find a way to just move forward, I suppose. And on The Heavenly Trousers, I suppose that was quite an optimistic. The end of the song is kind of optimistic, and Yeah, maybe that's maturity. Hope so.
Just two more. We're almost at the end. From the major labels as BMG to independence, on the base of your personal experience, is it difficult for a band to maintain its creative freedom working for such commercial brands?
I think so. I think it is. When we were first signed to BMG, we did have quite a lot of freedom because in the UK we were on a sub-label called Dedicated, and they did give us freedom for the first couple of albums, but there was such a schedule. Like, you always have to, as soon as you finish one project, you have to do the tour, and then the minute the tour's finished, you have to go into the studio because there's a deadline in October or November or whatever. At first, that didn't matter to us because you have so much energy. Like, that was fine. We wanted to keep going and keep writing and writing and writing. But then sort of commercial pressures start to build, and the record company, the large record companies, they expect you to proceed, and then you start to have a chart record, and if they make a video, there's all this pressure to get it shown on TV and all that sort of thing. And we weren't really interested in that. We reached a point where we didn't want to have to change the music that we wrote in order to fit into the mold. So what we did is we reached a point where we were fed up with everything, and we didn't want to continue in that same way. So we stopped. And we weren't really sure whether we were going to continue. We just had to wait until the dust settled, and we stopped working with BMG, and that was kind of a relief because it wasn't that great at the end. It had all gone a bit weird, and then we just kind of did other things for about 2 years, and I moved to London and did my drama course, and Jim did some production for other people, and then we met John, our new drummer. And then we just gradually reached the point when we wanted to write something where we had we found some sounds that we found interesting again, and so that was the beginning of a new batch of songs. Like, that's one of them.
Okay, last one. Okay. Now, you know The Cure very well.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the impressions you had from their latest album, Blood Flowers, which represents a little their return to a past musical experience? In other words, this album reminds me a lot of their first steps. I'm thinking of Pornography or Disintegration. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, I think it does have that vibe. And when we played with them this year in July, it was quite interesting because they played lots and lots of songs from...
I think it's nice when you feel it behind it, isn't it?
Okay, I don't mind.
Send us like a microphone.
Do you think they're going to stop?
Okay. Oh, come in.
A moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I think The Cure have. When we saw them play in July, they were playing a lot of songs from Pornography and Faith and the old albums, and not so much from Disintegration, but they were concentrating very much on their very early songs, and. They've got such a huge repertoire. I think it's always interesting to see The Cure. You can see they've got, and also we were all of the same opinion that their performance was just as good as ever when we saw them. Like, Robert's voice, he's got such a strong, like, It was just basically such a strong performance that even though we hadn't seen them for 5 years, we were like, wow. So it was cool. It was good to see them again.
Okay, thank you very much.